Okay, I'd like to first start by thanking the organizers for giving me this opportunity to present today. So invertebrates, the organs are positioned asymmetrically within the body cavity to allow for normal physiological function. And so shown in this panel here is the normal positioning of organs, which is called cytosolitis. And you can see that the heart sits on the left side of the body, the liver, or the majority of the liver, sits on the right, and organs that are paired, such as the lungs, show different numbers of lobes between the right and the left sides. And so when defects occur in the patterning events that set up the left-right axis, you can have a randomization of the positioning of one organ or a mirror image of either the whole right or the whole left side, as shown in these, and these have physiological consequences. In contrast, if you reverse the axis completely, such as shown here in the example of situs inversus, there doesn't appear to be any physiological defect or detriment, but it's important to note that the positioning of each organ is maintained in this situation. So in our lab, we're interested in identifying molecules that are involved in left-right patterning. And to do this, we use the chick as our model organism. So in the chick, the left-right axis, the cascade that initiates patterning of the left-right axis, occurs during gastrulation. And this is a schematic of a gastrulation stage embryo. And so here is Henson's node, and this is important because this is the site where we first see asymmetric gene expression. And what happens is that BMP signals on the right, restrict Sonic Hedgehog expression to the left side of the node. And this triggers an asymmetric or an evolutionarily conserved cascade of nodal to PIDX2 expression in the lateral plate mesoderm. And PIDX2 is a transcription factor that's actually important for asymmetric morphogenesis. And so you'll see here that at gastrulation, the embryo appears bilaterally symmetric. And it isn't until the heart tube appears that we see our first morphological asymmetry. And in these panels, you can see the development of the heart, which initially begins as a symmetric heart tube and then undergoes characteristic rightward heart looping. And so we can use this as a biological readout of any manipulations that we perform here to evaluate whether we've affected the left-right patterning cascade. And so a few years ago, our lab performed a screen to identify left-enriched molecules and identified CLDN1. And these are the qPCR results here showing that CLDN1 is enriched on the left side of the embryo during gastrulation. And so if you recall, this is the stage when the left-right axis is being set up. And it actually behaves differently when it's overexpressed on either the left or the right side. So in this image here, you can see the experiment that was done. So CLDN1 was overexpressed on the left side of the embryo. And the direction of heart looping was evaluated as a readout of normal or abnormal left-right patterning. And you can see here that the heart of the embryo loops normally in this case. However, when CLDN1 is misexpressed on the right side of the embryo, there's an increase in the incidence of leftward heart looping. And this indicates that there's defects in the patterning of the left-right axis. However, there is a CLDN1 null mouse model that doesn't exhibit any defects in laterality, and so that suggested to us that perhaps other CLDNs could be acting functionally redundant to CLDN1. And that's where my project began. But before I get to that, I'd like to tell you a little bit about CLDNs first. So CLDNs are integral components of the tight junction. And the tight junction is found at the apical pole of epithelial and endothelial cells, where it functions to block the movement between apical and basolateral membrane components, as well as act as gates, regulating the passage of ions and molecules. And so the properties of the tight junction are determined by which CLDN members are present. So certain CLDNs are associated with a tighter junction versus other CLDNs are associated with a leakier junction. So the CLDN family is quite large. Over 20 members have been identified in vertebrates, all sharing a characteristic structure, with 4 transmembrane domains, 2 extracellular loops, and an intracellular tail. And the 2 extracellular loops project into the paracellular space here and can interact both homotypically and heterotypically to affect barrier function. The intracellular tail interacts with proteins that's what's called the cytoplasmic plaque, and this links the junction to the actin cytoskeleton. So to go back to the hypothesis that I'm testing, that other CLDNs could be acting redundantly to CLDN1 during left-right patterning. The objectives that I have to test this are to identify what other CLDNs are expressed at gastrulation and then define the roles during development. And so to start this, I cloned all of the chicken CLDNs that are available or that have sequenced in the chick genomic databases, and there are 16 of them, which are shown here. And This panel just illustrates a lot of expression patterns, both at gastrulation, which is the first one, and neurulation, which is the second one. And there are many interesting things to look at here, but the one that I want to point out today is the expression of Claudin-10, which we observed to be asymmetric at Henson's node. And if you remember, Henson's node is important for left-right patterning, and this is the site where we first see asymmetric gene expression. So Claudin-10 expression is shown in this panel here. And you can see that it's expressed on the right side of Henson's node throughout gastrulation. And it's also maintained as the node regresses in neurulation. And so to test whether this asymmetric expression was actually important for left-right patterning, I performed a gain-of-function experiment to ectopically express Claudin-10 on the left side of the node. And so to do this, I injected retroviral particles encoding Claudin-10 at either the left or the right side of the node, and evaluated the direction of heart looping as a readout of normal or abnormal patterning. So just to remind you again, the heart normally loops to the right, and we're looking for an increase in the incidence of left-right heart looping. So as a control for this experiment, I injected GFP virus onto either the left or the right, and this is shown for the left. And you can see that there's a background incidence of about 12% left-right heart looping, and this is normal for these types of experiments because the embryos are cultured ex ovo. However, when I inject Claudin-10 on the right, I also see a non-significant effect. And if you recall, Claudin-10 is asymmetric on the right. However, if Claudin-10 virus is injected on the left side of the node, so making the expression bilateral, now we see a significant increase in the incidence of leftward heart looping. So the next experiment was then to knock down endogenous Claudin-10 and look at the effect as well. And so this is done by electroporation of a fluorescein tag morpholino onto the right side of the embryo. And the control for this experiment was the injection or the electroporation of a mismatched morpholino, which you can see gave me only a 9% incidence of leftward or background heart looping. However, when endogenous Claudin-10 is knocked down with the morpholino on the right side, I saw a significant increase to 50% incidence of leftward heart looping. So given that bilateral Claudin-10 expression and knockdown of Claudin-10 had an effect on the direction of heart looping, I then wanted to look at whether any of the known classic left-right patterning genes were affected in these embryos. So to do this, I collected embryos prior to the heart looping stages to look at the expression of Sonic Hedgehog, Nodal, PIDX2, and Snail. And so normally PIDX2 expression is observed in the left lateral plate mesoderm, which I've highlighted in these brackets here. And this is the expression pattern that I saw for all of the embryos that were injected with GFP control virus. However, in embryos that were injected with Claudin-10 virus on the left, I saw a disruption in the normal expression pattern, such that embryos had either absent expression, bilateral expression, or right-sided only expression. So if I looked at snail one, it's normally expressed on the right lateral plate mesoderm. And again, the normal expression pattern in the right lateral plate mesoderm is what I found for all of the embryos that were electroporated with the control morpholino. However, I did see an effect when the on snail expression in the Claudin-10 morphant embryos. And so there were a few embryos that had reduced expression and others that showed bilateral. And so I also looked at Sonic Hedgehog and Nodal in either the bilateral situation or the knockdown situation, and neither were affected. And so what that tells us is that Claudin-10 expression or Claudin-10 function must be upstream of PIDX2 and snail in lateral plate mesoderm. And just to remind you, it's expressed on the right side. And so to test whether it's actually, or to further this sort of positioning within the left-right patterning cascade, I am going to do bead experiments to implant Sonic Hedgehog or BMP-soaked beads and look at the effect on Claudin-10 to show whether Sonic Hedgehog or BMP signaling is required for the asymmetric 10 expression. So just to summarize the data I've shown you that Claudin-10 is asymmetrically expressed on the right side of the node at gastrulation, which is the developmental time point when the left-right patterning cascade is being initiated. I've also shown you that ectopic 10 expression on the left side of the node randomizes the direction of heart looping and disrupts PIDX2 expression. And morpholino knockdown of 10 on the right side randomizes the direction of heart looping and disrupts snail expression. And so these data suggest that asymmetric expression is required for the correct left-right patterning in the chick. And so two models that we've sort of proposed to, or hypothesized to how climate change could be doing that are shown here. So it could be that there's a signal that is required for left-right patterning to break that initial symmetry event. And so this bilateral, or this signal is actually bilateral, but it's perceived asymmetrically because of the differential barrier properties on the right versus the left side. And so to test this, I'm going to mutate residues in the extracellular loop that are important for defining the permeability properties of the clon and look to see if that has an effect on the direction of heart looping. Our second model is that there could be differential signaling because of clon-10's expression on the right. And so if you remember, I said that the intracellular tail interacts with the scaffolding proteins linking the junction to the axon cytoskeleton. And so, therefore, having clon-10 expression on the right may change the actin cytoskeleton or gene expression profile there. And so to test this, I'm going to look at the effect of different tail mutagenesis constructs on the direction of heart looping. So to end, I'd like to thank my supervisor and members of our lab and members of my supervisory committee and these agencies for support.
Thank you, Michelle. Any questions? I have questions, but I don't think that'd be fair.
Thank you. That was a really nice presentation. I have a selfish question to ask, and I'm asking because I have no idea of the answer. Janice Bailey and I collaborate on a model where we expose in utero to organochlorines. And then those male pups, when they're adults, are mated, and we look at their offspring. And so the student working on that project, she observed this abnormality in the heart. So the heart was found to be on the opposite side in significantly a number of these offspring sired by these treated males. So have you ever heard of this paternal effects in this body patterning? Are we the only people to observe this?
I personally haven't come across anything like that in the literature. I'm not sure whether Amy has, but...
Okay, thanks.
But I haven't, I'm sorry.
Yours is a nice model that closely links Claudin-10 with the asymmetric heart looping. I wondered, you know, just to try to think of other possible models, if what's important is in some way for Claudin-10 to maintain the normal physiology of those cells, and then some other characteristic of those cells is responsible for directing the looping. So I wonder then whether you had tried using the morpholino to disrupt the expression of other genes in that same population of cells on the right-hand side, I guess. Genes encoding products that you might not anticipate to be important in looping, but might be important in keeping those cells... cells healthy, and would you see a randomization of heart looping in that case?
So I personally haven't done any experiments like that to look at the effect of knockdown. I'm not sure what I would even predict for that. I think it is a possibility that Claudin-10 isn't functioning so much as a direct, like it might not be a direct player in that cascade, but that it is involved in maintaining the, the integrity of those cells there. And so I can't think of any examples that have been done.
Well, you know, what if you tried knocking out some gap junction proteins or something like that?
So there is somebody
something
that has
along
on
those that kind of something that wouldn't necessarily kill the cells, but might just mess them a little bit up, them up a little bit physiologically.
So there
anyhow, is just a thought.
Yeah. So there is data suggesting that gap junctions do play a role in patterning that left-right axis, I'm trying to think. I don't think there are morpholino. Well, there is morpholino data about that, but other junctional components do look like they play a role, but more in transmitting a signal between cells rather than extracellularly.
Can't help myself. I like the idea of the experiment of delivering agonist, either Sonic Hedgehog or BMP, but I don't know what BMP is. I know what BMPs.
Okay.
I know what BMPs are, and so I guess the question is, how many different BMPs are there in chicken? Do you know which ligand is relevant? What source of recombinant ligand are you actually going to be using?
Okay.
You probably anticipated that one, but
doesn't what is inhibin follow?
What? Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. I mean, there are some species where there is just one ligand, but I'm assuming in chicken that there are multiple BMPs, and that's going to have an impact on what receptors are activated.
Yeah, and so it looks like it's activin receptors that are important for that repression, I guess, of Sonic Hedgehog. And as for how many BMPs are active in the chick at gastrulation or at left-right pattern events, I'm not sure.
Okay. I mean, I think that'll be something important to resolve because the ligand will actually have quite a big impact on the nature of the signaling that you get because they engage different receptors. So,
Thanks.
Thank you, Michelle.